Good morning. Welcome to Back to the Book broadcast this morning. Good to be with you in your place of listening. Trust you're getting ready to be in the house of God this morning, be on time for Sunday school and church, and enjoy the blessings of God this morning. Good to be saved on this beautiful Sunday morning, able to get out and be in the house of God again and worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that loved us and gave himself for us, that we can have the liberty and the life that we have today. Good to be in your place of listening. Trust you'll enjoy the service today. You pray that God would use it for his glory and for his honor this morning. We try to exalt and lift up the name of the Lord Jesus and want him to be preeminent and prominent in the broadcast and in the services throughout the day. We invite you to be in church where we're members at here at Mountain View Baptist Church in Tryon, Georgia. Brother Kevin Norton, pastor, he'll preach to you the Word of God. You come be with us today in Sunday school at 10:45 worship, and then back at 5 for the evening and 7 o'clock on Wednesday. So you come and be with us today. Love to see you in church this morning. If you don't have a church home, you come. And especially if you're not a Christian, I urge you to get under the gospel and get saved before it's too late. The Lord's soon coming. He's going to come get those that belong to him. And if you don't belong to him through the new birth, you'll not leave with the church. You'll be left behind to be deceived and be damned, as the Bible said, and to that eternal place that God has reserved for the devil and his angels. But it's good to be here this morning. We're sending it out to all the shut-ins. Hope it'll be a blessing and an uplift to your heart this morning. Not able to get out, can't go anywhere. We don't even catch you at Walmart, and you're not able to get out. We trust that God will bless you today as you listen to this little broadcast, and that God would use it for your uplift this morning. And so it's good to be here today. Pray for the needs. Pray for those that are sick and shut in. Pray for those especially that are unsaved. You've got loved ones. You've got friends that need a Savior. And you need to pray for them today that God would convict their hearts of sin and bring them to the Savior before it's too late. One thing I found out through the years, the Holy Ghost can transcend all borders. He can get in the darkest of hours, the darkest of nights. He can go into impossible places and bring conviction to the heart of those that are lost without God. So you pray that God would bring conviction upon your loved ones, convict their heart deeply of their sins, and might turn their heart and life to the Savior before it's too late. All right, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. We want to pray for our nation today. Our country needs prayer. I tell you, we're seeing wickedness on every side. When I look around me today, I'm reminded of when I read the Bible, when I read about Sodom and Gomorrah, when sin is rampant and sin's unashamed, parading in the streets, no, not in the closet any longer, but proud of what they are. And I'm reminded of that when I look at America today. And I know there's some good things going on. I know there's some good churches in America today, but I'm telling you, in general, that society as a whole is unregenerate and lost without God and unrepentant, unashamed. And as the Bible said, they got a whore's forehead, not ashamed. And so we want to pray for our country today that God would awaken the churches of our land, awaken the men of God in our land to preach the gospel and to reach souls that are lost. The only hope is the gospel. Amen. The only hope is the gospel. You can't change a man's ways until you change a man's heart. And so it needs to be preached today. Fathers, we bow in your presence this morning. We want to thank you for this day. Privilege, Lord, to come before the microphone again to bring honor and praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. Try to preach to those, Lord, that are outside the ark of safety this morning, lost without you. And I pray you'd speak to their heart this morning. And there's some folks out there, Lord, that are lost. And then there's some folks out there that are backslid on God. And, Lord, they've gotten cold and indifferent. Some good folks that are not in church today. Many reasons they're not there, but they're using them for an excuse not to come to church. And I pray you'd bring conviction upon them this morning to realize that Jesus died for the church and gave himself for it, established the church, named the churches, named people in the churches in the Bible. And it's his will that we attend the house of God, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some men, even so much and more as we see the day approaching. And I pray, God, you'd awaken the hearts of those that are outside the will of God in their life, not coming to church, staying at home, but yet going other places. And I pray you'd bring conviction upon them. We'll honor you and praise you for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. All right, we're going to have some songs this morning. Hope we'll be a blessing to you today, that God would use it to uplift your heart this morning. So you listen as they sing. We're going to have a couple of songs today, and I hope you'll enjoy those.
From sin and from shame, let us safe into the fold. Why he should love us, we never can know. He is more precious than gold. He is to me more precious than gold. His love doth ever enfold. Though we may on earthly treasures unfold, he is more precious than gold. Old-fashioned.
ocean. Just tell it where you go. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, and I want the world to know. You may feel so bewildered from a life of sin and shame, but there's hope for you in Jesus, and you'll never be the same. With a hand of tender mercy, He'll make your heart aglow, and you can shout from the highest mountain, for it's salvation to your soul. That's why I sing and I shout and I praise His holy name, for He's the God of yesterday, and He's evermore the same. So if you think that I'm old-fashioned, just tell it where you go. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, and I want the world to know. That's why I sing and I shout and I praise His holy name, for He's the God of yesterday, and He's evermore the same. So if you think that I'm old-fashioned, just tell it where you go. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, and I want the world to know.
Amen. Amen. Not ashamed of it. I'm glad the Lord's got something we don't have to be ashamed of. Amen. Changed my heart, changed my life, gave me a new future, a new home, and a new life here. Thank God for that. Luke chapter 1 this morning, Luke chapter 1, we're approaching, of course, the Christmas season when we celebrate the birth of our Savior. What a wonderful time that it was when He came to this world, manifested in the flesh to sacrifice Himself on the cross of Calvary so we could have life. Manifestation of God among us. And what a blessing that is. Amen. Luke chapter 1, I'm going to try to preach on the subject this morning, beginning the subject on getting ready for Christmas. Getting ready for Christmas. Folks are doing a lot of things today, getting ready for Christmas. Of course, decorating the yard and the house and the tables and all these things that are taking place, putting out the manger scenes and reminding ourselves of the true gospel, the true meaning of Christmas, and exactly what it means to us because that we've been redeemed by God's amazing grace. But God had to get ready for Christmas also. He had to get things ready for the manifestation of the Son of God. And He did a good job of it. He did because He's God. He does everything well. And I want to try to preach on that subject today, just getting ready for Christmas. Luke chapter 1, I want to begin there this morning and try to bring to you a few thoughts today as far as we can go in the service this morning. But in Luke chapter 1, the Bible said, there was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest office before God, in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest office, his lot was to burn incense when he went to the temple of the Lord. The whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many that shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him with the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and I am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. That's reading 20, almost 20 verses of Luke chapter 1 this morning, getting ready for Christmas. God was getting this world ready for the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we know that over at Luke chapter 1 and 2, of course, further on, we find the manifestation of this angel to Mary. But God was getting things ready here to manifest the Lord Jesus Christ. There are some things that needed to be done because it was the will of God. God had his plan in place how to manifest of the Son of God. And all that God needed was some recipients of his will in this world to carry out his plan. God don't have to use men. He don't have to use women, but he does choose to do that to manifest his will to this world today. And he chose to use these two persons here in the Bible, Zacharias and his wife, Elizabeth. Now, the Bible said here, that God, first of all, there's about four things I want to notice this morning about these two people, these men, this man and his wife, well stricken in years, old persons. I mean, they were elderly people, but he was. There's some things about him that God chose to use him for and to use him because of. And so, first of all, God used two unlikely people to get things ready for the Christmas time. He used two unlikely people to get things ready for the Christmas time. The Bible said in verse 7, and they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well now stricken in years. Now, two things against this today. First of all, she was barren. She wasn't able to bear children. Secondly, they were old people. They were past the years of childbearing. And so God used two unlikely people to get things ready for Christmas time. Now, God don't do things in ordinary ways. God chooses to use the miraculous and to use the unusual things to manifest because he is God. God don't have to use nature. He don't have to use the way things that we think that it ought to be or that it has to be, but God chooses his way. God can do things impossible in the sight of men. And so God chose to use two unlikely people. Now, they were barren. She was barren. They were old people. They weren't able to do that. Children. And so there was the fact that they were unlikely people. Now, if we'd have chosen someone to bring John into this world to forerun the Lord Jesus Christ, then we would have chosen someone young and someone that was not well stricken in years and someone that could have children. We'd have chose that because that's the way we work. But God don't work that way. God works in miraculous ways. God chooses to use miracles to perform his will in this world today. First of all, to make known that he is God. It's God that does it. You can't put the credit to man because it's God that does it. Man couldn't have done that. I don't care how many doctors, I don't care how many physicians was around, they could not do what the Lord does. And so God chose to use these two elderly people to manifest in this world the preparation for the Christmas time for the Lord Jesus to come into this world. What a blessing. And God, so God uses unlikely people, and that to get his will done, God don't have to use people we think that he ought to use, but we choose to yield ourselves to him and to let God choose the ones that he wants to work with. And so God used these two unlikely people to manifest in this world, getting things ready for the Christmas time. God needed a forerunner. God needed someone to go before the Lord Jesus in the spirit of Elijah to make known the presence and the power of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what he needed. And so for John to come into this world, brother, he needed someone to bear him in this world. God chose and filled him in the womb with the Holy Ghost of God, chosen by God. You say, well, how can that possible? You'll have to ask the Lord that. I don't know. Only God can do that. God uses things unusual to manifest his will to this world today. And we've got to admit this morning that that Christmas time, the Lord Jesus, when he came, was a miraculous thing. You've got to admit that nobody could have done it like God did. I'm telling you, brother, God was getting ready to manifest his son to a sin-bound world and a hell-bound world, and he was getting ready to manifest his son to them. And so he's getting things ready for the Christmas time, getting things ready for the Lord Jesus Christ to come. Oh, yes. And so, listen, two unlikely people was going to be used there. By nature, there was no way this could happen, but by the will of God, it did happen. Just exactly like God said that it did. Now, secondly, I want you to notice the number two. God used two very qualified people to manifest his will to this world. Now, these were Christian folks. They were saved folk. They were looking for the Lord Jesus to come. I mean, there was a faith in them that came from their Heavenly Father, and they trusted in him, and they loved him, and they were yielded to him. Very qualified people. The Bible said in verses 5 and verses 6, now God reached down among God's people to get someone to manifest his will out of this world. The Bible said in verses 5, the Bible said, listen, two very qualified people. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth, and they were both righteous before God, and walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Oh, my friend, it didn't say sinless, but it said blameless. Amen. They walked with God. I mean, they loved their Lord. I mean, they was yielded to God. He was faithful. They were very qualified. Very qualified. And so, what qualified them? They were believers. Amen. I mean, they were believers. Brother, I'm telling you, those that are saved by God's grace, those that are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, my friend, they are believers. And they, my friend, they serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, there's the privilege that they had, my friend, the privilege they had to serve because of their qualification. They were saved. They were excited about serving God. They were faithful. I mean, qualified how to do the will of God. And he was a certain priest. He was a certain priest. He was not just a priest, but he's a certain priest chosen by God to do what needed to be done. Thank God for that. Aren't you glad today that God chooses qualified people to perform his will in the service today? Oh, yes, he still does that. He still chooses qualified folks. Now, there's a lot of volunteers. There's a lot of self-made people today that's trying to do the will of God. But I'm telling you, brother, God's got to choose qualified folks to serve him. Amen. And then notice number three, God used two faithful people. Oh, yes, they were faithful. Amen. The Bible said, now listen, they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. They didn't walk sinless, but they walked blameless and the ordinances of God. They were simply qualified. Amen. Blameless folks. You can place a blame upon them. Their life was not sinless, but it was impeccable. It was someone serving God. They loved their Lord. They loved their Savior, and they loved their work. Amen. What God had sent them to do. But notice they were faithful folks. Now in verses 8, the Bible said, and it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, he was faithful to his course. Amen. And what he was sent to do, he did that. Amen. He didn't try to do what somebody else was doing. He simply done what God chose for him to do, his course. It was his place to do the things that he was doing there. And so he was faithful to his course. Amen. And he was serving his Lord. Amen. man in the order of his course. He was executing the priest office. That's what God chose him to do. Getting ready for Christmas time. Amen. He chose these two faithful people. And notice something else. The Bible said in verses, and according to the custom of the priest office, his lot was to burn incense when he went to the temple of the Lord. His lot, his course, and his lot. God had something for him to do, and Brother God chose a faithful person to execute his will to get things ready for the Lord Jesus to be manifested in this sinful world that he was coming into. So a faithful people, thank God. Aren't you glad we got a heritage like that? I mean, listen, they were unlikely, they were qualified, but they were faithful, amen. They were faithful to the things of God, and so his course and his lot, he simply did that that he was sent to do. Notice number four, God also used a faithful congregation. Amen. The Bible said the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. There was a faithful congregation there in the right place at the right time. They would come to worship the Lord. They were in the house of God. They came there to worship in the right place. It takes a congregation, my friend, for folks to get ready for the Lord Jesus to come. It takes a faithful congregation for men to serve the Lord. Amen. And so listen, if you don't think church is necessary today, you're very, very wrong, because Jesus died for the church and gave himself for the church. And it's our duty to be in the house of God, serving the Lord, worshiping the Lord without excuse, trusting God for our safety and our blessings that he gives us because of our faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ. I know the world would like to shut down the church today. They'd like to do that, and a lot of church folks is listening to them. But I tell you, God said to forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, even so much so more, as you see the day approaching. And so listen, they were a faithful congregation there, serving with Zacharias and Elizabeth as they served God and the fullness of their service, and God was using them to get ready for Christmas time. Oh, my friend, it takes faithfulness. Amen. Not only a faithful people as Zacharias and Elizabeth was, but the faithful congregation that gathered there together, my friend, to serve God together. Oh, there's something about the fellowship of God's people. You can't tell me that you don't miss the fellowship of God's people when you don't get to go to church. There's something missing there. YouTube, Facebook, if live stream don't do justice to gather inside the house of God, the real thing is always better. Praise God. There's something about that, a bond together, that fellowship of God's people is together now to worship the Lord. What a blessing it is. So listen, it takes a faithful congregation for men to serve the Lord and be there in their place and serving him and loving him and be directed by him. And that's what these people were doing. They were simply getting ready for Christmas time, getting ready to be manifestation of the Lord Jesus when he would come to this world and be manifested in the flesh, my friend, in the will of God for a sinful people and saved by God's grace. And that's what God came for, to save us by his marvelous grace. Jesus came. And so listen, getting ready for Christmas time. Are you getting ready for Christmas this morning? Amen. I'm telling you, getting ready for that time. It's not that Santa Claus, no, sir, it's not the reindeer, but it's Jesus Christ. Thank God, the shepherds in the field, keeping watch, the angels' manifestation of the Lord Jesus, the reality of his birth. That's what it takes to make Christmas what it is. And I'm glad that I'm saved this morning. Listen, meet us in the house of God today. Be there in your place, and God will bless you, is our prayer. Until next week at this same time, amen.